Allah Ta'ala has given us an objective of life, and in the Quran, Hakim, Allah Ta'ala has utilized a word to explain, and the meaning of this word is that for Jannah, for paradise, insan, the human being, that he should get closer to Jannah and he should attain paradise, and hellfire should get distant, further away, and the individual should attain salvation from hellfire. And this is the objective of a human being's life. All our ibadat, all day, all night long, the months that Allah Ta'ala gives to us, behind all of this there is an objective that the human being should become successful. And to attain this objective, the Qur'an gives us guidance, and every verse of the Qur'an explains the method of how this objective can be attained. Every verse and every event of the Qur'an, it reminds the human being that you need to attain this objective, and it tells us the method, the tariqah. And one verse is such where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly mentioned the method in that for us, and very easy has Allah made it for us, that the human being, if he adopts this method, then praise be to Allah, alhamdulillah, he attains success, falah. That verse is a small verse, small scale, but the whole collective summary of the objective of life, Allah says, قَدَ فْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, that the person who wants to attain falah, success, Allah Ta'ala has defined the route to success, that what is it that gives a person falah, success. And as I just said, the meaning of falah is to get paradise, get closer to paradise, and to get further away from hellfire. And the method to do this, tazakkaha, is to adopt the path of tazkiyah. Because that human being who becomes successful in life, he works hard all life long, and he does tazkiyah in that journey, that within him, in his batin, that he purifies and makes clean his batin from all of the defects and maladies, then Allah Ta'ala gives the guarantee that that person is destined for paradise. He's a jannati. Now, such a big point, if we understand this, then what is our objective and our function is that all life long we should work hard on this principle. A big shortcut route to success, that we need to purify ourselves from within. If our batin is clean, our salah will be accepted. If our batin is purified, then our hajj will be accepted, our ibadat will be accepted, our worship, our tahajjud, our dhikr will be accepted, our working hard will be accepted. If my batin is impure and dirty, then the Quran says that the human being cannot succeed. And the Quran has defined this path as tazkiyah, this method as tazkiyah, purification of the batin, of the inner state and the soul. Now what is this, if ultimately, that what is the that exists in the purification of the batin, that this is the basis for our success? We need to look at this. What is the batin? What is tazkiyah of the batin? What is purification of the heart and the soul? Just like, you know, you have something, there's something on the road, something on the pavement, there's mud or there's dirt, and we pick it up and we clean that pavement or that defective item which is dirty, we wash it, clean it. When the dirt is rubbed away, wiped away, and then suddenly, alhamdulillah, a diamond comes out, a pearl comes out. The person gets happy that I took some matter out of the mud and I cleaned it and a diamond came out of it, mashallah, very valuable. I didn't know it was there. So tazkiyah is the same, that the human being, the insan, when he washes himself within, cleans himself within, our batin, which is surrounded by dirt and defects and impurities, when a person cleans and cleans his batin, then a diamond suddenly sparkles through that. And that's the value that Allah Ta'ala holds near to him. That tazkiyah, purification, Allah says, purify, wash. Why should you wash? What should come out of this? A very clear and sparkling pearl, a diamond, which is very valuable to Allah. That's what's beloved to Allah. And due to that, Allah Ta'ala says, you will attain success. Falah. Do you understand the point? The example, that's the reason that we will attain falah. That after purification, that should come out. If that thing doesn't come out, then we can't attain falah. We cannot purify ourselves. We cannot clean ourselves. For example, you are washing the diamond, polishing the diamond, and if the dirt doesn't come off, then you'll see the dirt on the surface. But as soon as you wash away the dirt, then the value of that diamond will increase. In the same way, tazkiyah of the human being, the batin inside the human being, should become so clean and pure. When he becomes clean and pure, as soon as he's clean and pure, then the sparkle from the diamond, the glow, and the value will shine through. That's why Allah says, clean yourselves. So what is the name of that diamond? What is that method? That's what we need to learn. What's the name in the hadith in the Quran? What is the reward Allah Ta'ala has given for polishing the diamond? That is called akhlaqi husna. The highest level of good conduct. Yes? Social conduct, manners, and akhlaq. All of the value of the diamond is based on the shine and the glow. So if akhlaq shines through, then that person successful, his salah is successful, his hajj is accepted, every deed and amal and ibadah is accepted, because he becomes a valuable human being. And that's the whole story. That's the crux of it. That's the summary of the effort that needs to be made. So what's the sign of akhlaqi husna, of the highest grade of conduct, good manners? I could say, oh, I've got good akhlaq, akhlaqi husna. Hasana. We say, salam alaikum, wa alaikum salam, how are you? Do you want some tea? We say, oh yeah, he's got good akhlaq. He's smiling and he gives me tea and water. Oh, he's smiling. Come to tea. Let's eat together. He's got akhlaq. And when I'm smiling, and then he's smiling, and then, but I don't know what's in his heart, and he hates the other person. Oh, I'm going to destroy him. And when he shakes his hand, assalamu alaikum, brother, how are you? Are you fine? Oh, he's got good akhlaq, mashallah. He smiles. Come and invites me to tea. Soon as he leaves, oh, look at his face. Oh, I know what I'm going to do with this man. Watch what I do to him. 99% of the people who have so-called akhlaq, they are like this. There's a big deception today that to smile, watch people, how are you, smile, show your teeth, but there's a list you've made. I'm going to take his money, I'm going to destroy him, I hate him. Oh, he's got good akhlaq, because we show with our smiley teeth that we've got good akhlaq. That, for example, when they, you know, make a broad smile and they show the smile, is this akhlaq? This is not the criteria for akhlaq. This is showing off. This is just outward appearance. Let's understand what is akhlaq. The akhlaq that Allah Ta'ala is mentioning, which gives falah, success to the human being. Obviously, zahiri is not the criteria. Zahir is very dangerous. The zahir of a person becomes good when his batin is clean. Otherwise, everything is for show. It's to show people he thinks, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm pious, I'm clean. No. No, do you understand what I'm saying? So this is the lesson of tazkiyah. May Allah Ta'ala make us all successful and understand this point. That's why I'm sat here, that's why you're sat here. This majlis is a different type of gathering. Here we fire the arrows, and the wounds of the arrows pierce the heart so that we can understand. And then the salt is rubbed on the wound, say subhanAllah. And the person who feels more spices and hot, he is the person who's getting success. Do you feel the spices and the heat and sweat? Then understand that you're being washed inside, because it's bitter. A bitter pill to swallow. The more the medicine is bitter, the more you take my words as bitter, then consider that you will succeed. Because a person, he is reformed by the pain. By the pain. You know when you used to study in school, and the child used to get beats more from the teacher, he becomes the better hafidh. Isn't it? Yeah, because he gets the scolding from the teacher, his hifth will be more firm. So my brother's akhlaq isn't smiling and showing your teeth to people for the sake of Allah. If this is your habit, then leave this. Yeah, this is deception, fraud, showing off, banditry, and there are severe punishments for this. For the sake of Allah, understand this, life is short, let's correct ourselves. Understand what is akhlaq. Understand what is humanity. There will be a severe test in the hereafter. Severe test will come our way. Severe. Don't go towards dahir and external self and showing to people you're clean outside and you're pure outside. No, this is not the this is nonsense. This is a nonsense definition. Because those people who say that, oh, they've got good akhlaq, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us a different definition of akhlaq, subhanAllah. Different definition. And I remember this hadith of Mishkat narrated, that what a great point and principle of Islam is the subject of akhlaq. The hadith, it states, قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ The Prophet ﷺ has taught the principles of akhlaq in this hadith. Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, may our parents be assigned to you. It's been asked to the Prophet of Allah ﷺ, this is a hadith narrated in Mishkat, that what or who eventually the human being, the so many things and functions Allah has given to the human being, what's the best function of a human being? It's a big question. What a big question. That what is the most beloved function or asset of a human being? The ears, the nose, the eyes, the tongue. Even if we have none of these, Allahu Akbar. Even if we have the eye, the nose, the ears, the hands, the feet, the limbs, valuable organs Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Are these the most valuable assets of a human being? No. The value of a human being, the price tag, is given by the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Imamul Anbiya. The blessed statement that has emanated from his words, that gives the price tag to a human being. So we'll rise today, all the things we think of the world that are valuable. Oh, he's got this. Oh, he's got that. Oh, she's got this. No, the whole dunya Allah Ta'ala has gone through all of that and given one word. The question was asked, SubhanAllah, these were the noble companions of the Allahu anhum. They were the true and the best students. They said that at least we should realize what is our manzil, our destination, so we can understand, so we can embark on the path. SubhanAllah. So what is it that Allah Ta'ala has given to the human being that lets him shine and sparkle and glow, is the best human being? If we haven't got that, let's learn how to get it. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, it could be A, B. He could have said, if you have a big house or money, or your body should be like this, or your hand should be like this, or your color should be like this. No, he didn't define the best person like this. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that whatever is beloved and most valuable in the court of Allah, that is what I will tell you, said Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So let's see, do we have that asset? If we have the asset, then we are the best human beings. If we don't have this asset, then we need to work out all our lives long. This life you've given to us, morning and evening, this life that's passing, that please assign to us for this so that we can attain. Should we do this with my friends or not? Yes, otherwise we're foolish. We are not living the life in the right way. There's no benefit of just wasting time eating, drinking like animals, like donkeys. And if we don't have this criteria in our lives, then we are worse than the animals. We are worse. And if we have this criterion asset, even my hand's broken, my body's broken, my feet are broken, I don't have eyes, no ears, I'm deformed. But in the eyes of Allah, I am the most elevated human being, because قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. Allah says, successful is that person. The human being's value in the eyes of Allah for success is based on this criteria. A person, some children, they go an exam, they go to the examination hall. Somebody, for example, is short and he's dark, and he's not maybe attractive, and the exam comes out and he gets first class grade. All of the people turn around, they won't look at him, what he looks like, what's his face look like, and whose picture will come out? That child who came first, he'll be top of the list. They won't see what's his mouth like, his lips, his color, whose son is he, rich, poor. No, in the papers there'll be a line drawn around his name that this person got a gold medal. Isn't this the case? So Allah Ta'ala, if he says that I like this person because of this reason, then he is the best person. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave the answer in the same way. Just like the question was asked, the answer was given in the same way. Say Subhanallah. Allah also gave a short and concise answer so that we can succeed based on this data. So the question was asked, O Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is that person? Or what asset or criteria does a person possess that makes him the best? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the most beautiful and beloved asset of a human being, the most beautiful and beloved asset is akhlaq, husna, his high level elevated conduct and akhlaq. So now let's look towards ourselves. Let's bow our heads down, analyze whatever status I'm sitting on, that we've got everything to our name, but do we have akhlaq? Do we have good conduct? We say, oh yes, assalamu alaikum, how are you my friend, are you okay? Behind his back, I'm going to take his money, I'm going to do this to him, I'm not going to do good transactions with him, and we disrespect and degrade people. Does this not happen all life long? Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then we're backbite behind that person's back. Is this humanity? This is animal instinct. Yes, and we'll go in the grave like this, then what will be our hal? Tell me, think yourselves. Where will we go? Where will go my salah, my ibadat, my worship, my Quran? No, the best human being we should become. Yes? So, what is akhlaq now? Let's hear now. So here I have rejected that showing your teeth and smiling and shaking hands. This is not the definition of akhlaq. What is the definition that the Prophet ﷺ gave? Akhlaq, my friends, is the action. Listen carefully, my friends. So now the diamond is being rubbed and polished and sparkle will come through. So we've taken the diamond out of the soil and the earth that the Prophet ﷺ said, who is the best person? Akhlaq, the definition is that inside that human being, or that human being, he doesn't just love the creation of Allah. Listen to the words. Not that he loves the creation of Allah. Not just love. Rather, he loves the creation of Allah more than himself. Say Subhanallah loudly. Subhanallah. And this is akhlaq. Not just love that I love you, or he shows his love. No. Not saying it verbally. Rather, that to love the creation of Allah more than oneself. Rather, he will sacrifice his own requirements and give more to the others. He will leave his rest and look after the rest of other people. He will persevere through his own difficulties and help the other people in their difficulties. Makhluq, the creation of Allah. The bird is makhluq, the fish is makhluq, the mosquito is makhluq, the cat and the dog, these are all the creation of Allah. So we, inside us, there should be a desire and a passion inside a mu'min. He should have a passion and desire that he should stop differentiation of the classification of creatures. If anything is linked to Allah, my Rabb, then that peace, that part of creation, I am willing to give up all what I have for the betterment of the creation. And when a person has this desire, he's got the akhlaqi husna, the high level social conduct. And this is Islam. Do you understand now what is deen? And this is the deen of Islam. And Allah likes this so much. Let's see this here. This deen that we've been given, the deen that we have, that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Allah Ta'ala has named this deen, this way of life, as Islam. The basis is akhlaq, not any ibadah. The basis of Islam is akhlaq. Allah, with alif, we have, what do we have? We look at the word seen, salamat, peace. Yes? And then with the lamb, we have tenderness, soft-heartedness. Subhanallah, this is Islam. So where did it start from? I thought for a while. I said, Allah, in this word of Islam, you have confined everything. Everything in this. We have peace and salamity. We have tenderness, soft-heartedness. And with meem, you have muhabbat, you have love. Mutual love. And when you put this all together, you get the flower of Islam. And this is our deen, our way of life. Yes, so when someone says mandinukum, we say Islam. So behind that, there's no Islam in our lifestyles, in our practice. We swear at people, we backbite against people, we take their money, we fraud them, we defraud them, we commit excesses with them. We say this is Islam, or just to make the appearance of a Muslim going inside the masjid and outside the masjid. Is this Islam? No. No. If this was Islam today, then I swear by Allah, then this would not be Abu Hal. But in reality, this is not Islam. This is not the essence of Islam. Islam is the example, the role play carried out by the noble companions radiyallahu anhum. Each and every sahabi had this lifestyle. Because Rasulullah had this lifestyle. Because the Prophet ﷺ, I came for this reason. I didn't come to teach Salah and Quran. I came to complete the akhlaq of the human beings in the world. So that you can become those people who Allah wants you to be. So you can become valuable. And the Prophet ﷺ's every breath was like this. For example, the Prophet ﷺ would leave what he had himself and give to others. A person came once and he gave a beautiful sheet, blanket to the Prophet ﷺ. It was beautiful and black with white lines. And he presented it, and subhanAllah, he was stroking his hand and he said, it's very nice, very nice. And subhanAllah, how much? And he didn't even turn. And another person came and said, oh, Prophet of Allah, give me this blanket. And I like this. And the Prophet took it, what was given to him just recently, and gave it to that person. The Sahaba were looking. Imagine. They were learning. What's the point here? Another companion came. And a nomad came. And he had a stone tied to his stomach. And from some days he had nothing to eat. No water, no food. And the Prophet ﷺ went to each of his wives, is there any food? And he came back and said that they've all replied that we have no food, there's no water left to drink. No water to quench the thirst. This was the hal. And the man came. He said, oh Prophet of Allah, please fulfill my need. Give me some money. He was from the rural area. He said, give me some money. I have no resources. The Prophet ﷺ was silent. He said, I need some money. He said, okay, then go to this person and take a loan out in my name and I will return the loan to that person. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was sitting there and he became a bit passionate, he had jalal and he was immersed in love. Obviously if you love somebody, then you won't want that person to have any pain or difficulty. And he said, oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was this lazim on you that you had to give him the loan? We know that you're in severe difficulty. Why did you do this? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not reply. Silence. Another person came. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had some goats. And quite a few goats at that time. MashaAllah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not poor. Yes, he had the poverty. And he adopted that. Could there be anyone more rich than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It wasn't the case that he was poor. Or he didn't have anything to his name. No. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked it. Hubbal muskina. He said, I prefer to stay as a miskeen, as a poor person, and to rise as a poor person in the hereafter. He had a desire, just like I have a desire, I want to be the richest, I want the best things, everyone should say salam to me, my status should be the highest, I should be this and that. That all life long we work hard, and may Allah forgive, we do silly actions to become rich and wealthy, and we become more zali, more wretched, more loans and debts and difficulty, and we break people's rights, and the person gets buried and suppressed. Isn't this the case? This is our hal today, isn't it? This is our basis of success today, isn't it? Is this respect? There's no respect and through this, subhanAllah. So the nomad came from the rural area and he was a bit disrespectful. They spoke directly, they didn't have the manners, the how to speak with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, give me these goats. And he wasn't even a Muslim. Give all the goats to me. Not just one, he said, give all these goats to me. All of them. And if there's someone there, who are you to ask for the goats? Subhanallah. But a smile spread over the blessed face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His blessed and beautiful face and a smile spread, and the Sahaba kiram are looking. The hair, this is the akhlaq, the manners. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, take. How many do you want? He said, I want all the goats. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, take all the goats. Subhanallah, he took all the goats and went. Then when he went to his tribe, they said, where do you bring these goats from? He said, be quiet, go straight to the Prophet of Allah, become Muslims and adopt Islam, because the person I've just met and come back from, there's no one more generous than him. So who was this for? Who was this learning for? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to teach humanity to the whole of humankind. He didn't come to promote himself. He didn't come to tell us that Ramadan will come and fast and you'll become masters of Islam and you'll have hit the bullseye. No. No. This wasn't the teaching of Islam. That every second and moment, every movement and everything that came from the Prophet's example is qad aflaha man zakka. And this is the name of Sufism, this is the name of piety, this is walayat. Allahu la ilaha, this is not wilaya. This is not being the friend of Allah. This is not the definition of being a friend of Allah. The Hazrat Mulana Rumi rahmatullah said that lay out the prayer mat, take a tasbih in your hand and put something wrapped around you and you can become a Sufi and take a few students behind you. First demonstrate your akhlaq. Sacrifice some time, efforts, resources for people. And the definition is that you should love the creation of Allah more and over and above the love you have for yourself. And you should realize, people should realize, I swear by Allah, that this man Waqi, most definitely he is the master of akhlaq. Master of akhlaq. That's what people should say. Now this, when a person becomes like this man or woman, when a human being becomes like this, that he or she loves the creation more than himself, then he becomes like Hazrat Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz, he becomes like Hazrat Ali Murtaza, he becomes like Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraishi. These are the people who become true human beings. They weren't made by anything. Well, if it was through dhikr, then there are very great couplets of Punjabi, that if they were to be made through dhikr, then all of the fish and the dodos and other birds, they would have become walis as well. So you don't become a wali through this. You become a wali through qad aflaha man zakkaha wa qad khaba man dassaha. Allah Ta'ala says that the person whose akhlaq is the best, wali washes and purifies and cleans, and the diamond is polished and rubbed, which is called akhlaq husna inside us. And the definition of this is that more than yourself, you should love the creation of Allah. Yeah, let's take a cat. Let's take a cat. If a cat all night long is lying down in his bed, there was a sahabi, a companion, and he lay down the cat and it was severe cold and he spent the night outside, but he put the cat on his bed because there will be difficulty for the cat. Say subhanallah. So here, we don't even give the beds to the human beings. No, he's not a Muslim. Oh, he's a disbeliever. Oh, he doesn't believe. Is this Islam what it teaches us? Shouldn't we have compassion for all people of all backgrounds and religions? So what we realize here is that the root cause of destruction in our day and age today, whenever We have earned, you can say, a loss is whenever our akhlaq is in the lowest ebb. Why? Because when we get this diamond, why has Allah Ta'ala given us this great maqam based on akhlaq? Yes? Why has Allah Ta'ala given a high status on good akhlaq? Because when akhlaq comes into a person, when a person starts to love the creation of Allah, imagine this, that when a person, what is makhluq? Whenever you start to love another person or creature in creation that you're willing to give, you won't look at enmity or what is that person's background. Then will you do dhulm on anybody? Will you oppress anyone? Will you take anybody's money? Will you murder anybody? Will you consume anybody's wealth? Will you commit excess against someone? Will you grab somebody's neck and hit them? Will you fight anybody? Will you backbite against anybody? No, the whole ma'ashara society will become made, and dhulm, oppression will disappear. In no home will there be oppression. In no village will there be oppression. In no business will there be any dhulm. No person who's rich and wealthy will look down and do dhulm on anybody who's weaker or less well off than him. No dhulm. Remember, when Allah says they have rich and poor, everyone is equivalent. But everybody from top to bottom will be happy that there'll be no dhulm. And the rich person will beg the poor that, please take the money from me. You'll see no difference in giving and taking, that every human being will have a high maqam. And this was the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you pick up the history and read it, you'll learn the sabak. But why have we forgotten this lesson? That this sabak, this lesson, is what the Sufis revise with the students in their places of worship. They elevate their akhlaq, their humanity, their feelings, their emotion. They don't teach them you have to do this and adhkar, etc. Have you not seen that in which ways the Sufi kram, how they created great students who didn't have no ilm, no knowledge? That the Shaykh himself wasn't an alim or scholar, but he prepared all of his students to the highest level of akhlaq so that they could go out and spread the deen. SubhanAllah, they would not rely on ilm, on knowledge, because they didn't have any special knowledge. If I start to count to you that from our akabireen, how many names I can remember that did not have external dhahiri ilm, but when they practiced tazkiyah, the shaykh and he prepared the students, said go towards the makhluk, then they went with one strong tool, they had akhlaqi husna, the highest level of good conduct. In the night I saw my hazrat. In the night at 2 a.m., if a guest came to the khanqah of 80 or 90 years old, my sheikh was, he had no food at home, no chapatis at home, no bread at home. I'm speaking about my husband. He had no bread, no flour, they had water. And there was some weeks that maybe did not eat proper meal at home. I'm speaking about that great sheikh who I saw with my own eyes. I'm not speaking about kitabs. Yes, 2:33 a.m., if a guest came and he knocked on the door of husband. Now, wallah, Allah knows best from where. Even at that time I was in the khanqah, I was watching everything, I could see the scene. And mashallah, there was a candle lit or oil lamp in one corner I was sitting, and the other faqirs were sat, and everyone was there in the middle of the night, in the cold winter's night. And I saw that a guest came towards Hazrat. What's going to happen? So after a while I saw that a bowl came out and there was hot naan, roti. And I watched, the Hazrat didn't have any food. I went close to that brother and I said, Mawlana, what are you eating? He said, you go back. This is between me and my Shaykh Hazrat. SubhanAllah. I said, what is it? He said, I get that food here that I prefer. I said, is it what you're eating? And he had, you can say, the cream, the pure fresh cream that comes off the top layer of the milk. It was pure fresh cream with sugar mixed in it and hot naan, roti in the middle of the night. I thought, where did Hazrat get this from? Because Hazrat Sahib knew that my guest, he likes this food. So I don't know how Hazrat Sahib must have prepared in 2:30 in the night, and he's sitting down enjoying and eating. SubhanAllah. Another individual from our khanqah, he's probably listening to what I'm saying, and he left with the disrespect without telling me. He went there. You know when people say, okay, let's go there and see who is Hazrat Sahib. And he was disrespectful at that time when he did this, without permission, without adab. Because to do such an action without adab, without permission, and he went to the khanqah, Dera Ghazi Khan, to my Sheikh's khanqah. And when he got there, it was a night time, and Fajr in the morning, it was extremely cold. He started to tremble in the cold, and it's very cold there in our area. And the heat is extreme and the cold is extreme. And the khanqah was open 2-3 a.m. He was tired and the door was shut. So he was tired, he lied down. Hazrat got up and came to pray the Hajjud. And Hazrat Sahib saw there's a guest. Hazrat Sahib took his blanket off. SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. Hazrat Sahib took his blanket off and had his own kameez, just a shirt in the extreme cold. And Hazrat Sahib put the blanket over him and said, do you know? Didn't know who it was with a nice way. And then Hazrat Sahib went and sat down in the cold all night long. So this is ibadah, this is worship. through which you get khilafat and deputization, and then the order is given, go in another country and do the work of the deen, do tabligh, propagate Islam. And that is nur ala nur. And on top of that, if you get dhahiri, the good effect, the Quran and the hadith, and you have this ilm of akhlaqi husna and regard for the fellow human beings and creatures, then nur ala nur, your life will become illuminated. Yes, and the car, when it drives on one wheel, there's no driving, but when both wheels come, all four wheels come, or a bike with two wheels, then it will ride fast. But if a wheel falls off and you have one, then you cannot ride the bike. So the human being has to learn from this. So dhahiri ilm will not benefit us. How will we become true human beings? Until we don't put the car into proper gear, we will not learn akhlaqi husna that has been taught to us by the Prophet ﷺ, that the most beloved asset of a human being, that the best thing Allah Ta'ala has given to us, is that we rub and shine and polish our akhlaq. That's what makes a human being great. And what is the value of that person in the court of Allah? Then hear this clearly as well. And I'm telling you this now for what reason? First say subhanallah loudly. You haven't gone to sleep, have you? That when I speak, a lot of people get a bit drowsy. Brothers, I'm telling you these points today, that after today we have to make effort on these points we're discussing. Only then we can say that we've got good akhlaq. Ramadan is coming. لَعَلَكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ ظَاهِرِ ibadah. Don't emphasize on this. In Ramadan, consider that we have to attain this ibadah. Inshallah, in Ramadan, if the majalis continue, then I'll speak on this subject. This is the real, genuine item that we need to attain. So never be proud, I've done dhikr, I've got libas of Islam, alhamdulillah, this is accepted. The Holy Prophet ﷺ sunnah is accepted. But if we don't have akhlaq, then all of this external deen is showing off in pride. And when the akhlaq comes, then the external practice of deen is nur, there's light, and there's nothing that can compare to this. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, nothing can compare to his imamah, his dhoti sharif, his kurta. And nothing can compare to his beloved attire and sunnah. But if you've got a defective akhlaq, my friends, that salah will be accepted, the hajj will be accepted, which has akhlaq. What is the point of that hajj? What is the point of that hajj where you elbow people and push people and you go in a bad way and you curse people and you argue with people, and to kiss the Hajar Aswad, that you make 100 people injured while you want to kiss the Hajar Aswad? So sad. And you're drinking zamzam water, you're going around the mataf after knocking people around, that the arguments that take place, the pushing in the buses and people who argue over food and to attain the food, the bread, what the people out there argue, is this hajj? No, this cannot be hajj. This is incorrect. This is not acceptable. This is totally not acceptable. That Allah Ta'ala created the human beings for this reason. Allah Ta'ala said that I will give you falah, success, on one criterion, that make yourself a stranger to yourself and serve other people, give love to the dogs and cats. What a great, great event, where there was a woman who was immodest. That's a nice word I'm using here. And she was passing by somewhere, she saw the dog was struggling. She said, this is the makhluk of Allah, the creation of Allah. She took her shoe off and lowered it down into the well and brought the water out and gave it the dog to drink. And for us, this is nothing. That dog is dirty. And she could have thought that I am useless, I am fahish, or I am immodest, I have nothing. But maybe she thought she was worthless. But in her heart, she had a feeling, a jazbah of love, akhlaq, for the creation of Allah. Because she linked the dog to Allah, that this is the thirsty dog, the creation of Allah. Let me give this dog some water. Maybe a niyyah, whether it was made or not, but she didn't have a good understanding. She didn't know the sins she was doing. But at the same time, she had jazbah and passion, a little bit of love and regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the creation of Allah. And look at the basis of her success, that when she passed away, she was in paradise straight away. Wherever I come to, and he said to her that the dog delivered you here. And the whole world disliked her. The people did not walk past her, or even past the dog. Even the angels don't come due to the dog. But that dog, to serve the dog, allowed the fahish woman to go into Jannah. And this is the akhlaq we need to generate. There's no akhlaq in our homes, outside, with the children, with the wife, nor with the uncle, nor with the people of our neighborhood. Disrespect. What is this? Is this success? Doesn't matter how elevated does a person become. I'll give you an example, then I'll summarize the subject, because this is a very enjoyable subject. Look, I will show you what is the elevated human being. That for the human being is not this, that big ibadah will make him succeed. No. Close to Allah, a person becomes so elevated that even his so-called small good deeds that we think are minor, but they're very valuable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, for example, people, just like we leave the masjid, people, they depart. This is a hadith I'm mentioning to you. And the meaning of the hadith that I'm sharing. So you know, for example, when you leave the masjid, for example, in the village, when a person's going to the masjid, and when a person, when he used to see that he didn't used to pray, he used to pass by, he said, what is this? This sort of bush, and here people are praying salah, and he saw that there was this jardi, this sort of bush in the way, so let me bring something from home and break this down and move this out of the way. Why? Because he could see that this is giving the pain to the people, it's in the way. Do we think like this, that this is obstructing the path of the musallis who come to the masjid? We said that this person done this and that. Remember one person, you could say that this person made my heart very happy that I had a need and he fulfilled my need. And that's where we will enjoy. That for example, somebody had a loan and he was crying from your pocket, you took out and you said, here, take this money, I give to you. Yes, first we'll look at ourselves, there's my stomach feeling, then I'll give after. No. First, put yourself to the back. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, have you not heard her event that she kept the fast, and after fasting, the fakir came, and there was poverty, there was nothing to eat, and some hadiyah came, and then the fakir called out, and subhanallah, he gave the food. And this is called what? What's the definition of this? This is called akhlaq, conduct, showing the teeth and smiling and shaking to people. Then first look at your heart, that am I a fraudster or do I really have love for this person? If not, then just walk past that person. Walk past that person. Yes, that don't show a drama, hee hee, and smiling and showing teeth. That if you know you are a fraudster, you deceive people, then just walk past looking down. Don't speak nonsense and too much extra. Why? Because Allah is khabir and basir and He knows. And why should this come? Are we animals? What are we? Why don't we correct ourselves? Come, let's promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will try and we'll make effort and we'll do tazkiyah. Otherwise we cannot be successful. Can we? The old ibadat, we're working hard in Ramadan, will come, we'll just do ibadah upon ibadah, the more effort we make. The first effort we need to make and see is that how much akhlaq is this person? Is this not the case? So my brothers, inshallah, these are the majalis of tazkiyah that are taking place for this reason, so that we can make effort. But let's do the right effort, walk on the right path, and we should always look at our akhlaq, and we should make an effort to instill giving for the sake of others, for others over and above ourselves, forgiving others. If someone is swearing at me, saying bad to me, somebody came to the Prophet and was disrespectful, there was a nomad, he came, nomadic, and he came and he grabbed the sheet and the blanket of the Prophet disrespect, and he said, what's the problem? And he said, give me this, this is my money, this is not your mal, this is not your wealth. And with disrespect he was speaking to the Prophet. Imagine this. And that here we can say, oh, that he was rude, he said, this is your money, give me all this, and put all of this wealth on top of my camel. These are the words of the hadith. And the Prophet smiled. He said, okay, if this is the case, you give me a bit of pain, and first, can you compensate for the pain you gave to my neck? Subhanallah. And he didn't listen, no, give me mal, wealth. The Rasulullah said, I'll give you wealth. And all the money the Prophet made, the mal and the wealth, he took on the back of his camel and he took with him. And this is what we call akhlaqi husna. And all of this our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demonstrated. So our hearts, we need to make them broad and deep so we can assist others. Why do we waste time? That Allah Ta'ala, may He give us the zahiri perfection, salah, Quran, dhikr, tabligh, propagation of the deen, and more above this, but the real objective, the heart, the batin, the soul, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to purify it at the same time, first and foremost. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.